Good morning, Om Shanti. And so today we have a wonderful panel. Satish Pai from Australia will be interviewing and conducting the panel. And he is from 5DOC, which is the National Coordinating Office for Australia. He has a long history in the Yagya, about 40 years, and his father, Jaga, was head of the Sri Lankan Centre, and his mother, Tiru, Tiru Ben, was very close to Didi Nirmala, and she was influential in many centres in that area. So we have a lot of experience, a lot of skill, and a lot of naughtiness. We welcome Satish Pai on this very rainy day. We have late monsoons here in Mount Abu. Absolutely beautiful, but every now and again the rain comes pouring down and it's very loud on the roof, so we hope you don't have to compete with the rain. And I invite you, Satish Pai, to introduce your panel. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Shunabe, and that was a very generous introduction. It's starting to sound like I'm a bit of a fossil in this place, a dinosaur fossil of some sort. Anyway, firstly, thank you to the panelists for turning up despite such a stormy rain, and to all of you for being here this morning. I thought you'd all be in bed after such a lovely weather. So, I thought the best thing to do is, rather than me introduce the panelists one by one and miss out any important information, I thought it'd be really nice for the panelists to just give us a really brief introduction about, you know, of course your names, what you do, where you're from, how many years you've been with Baba, and just, you know, in one line, probably just what your understanding is of being a bestower, and what's your current practice along those lines. So who'd like to start first? Greg, do you want to start from that end, or? So, okay, ladies first.
So my name is Jasmine. I'm originally from Germany, so I took Jan in Germany 37 years ago, and I've been living in England for many, many years. And now since 1995 at the Global Retreat Center in Oxford, with some interruption because we had renovations, so we had to move out. What do I do? I coordinate a lot of the karma yoga in Oxford, so that includes all the housekeeping, taking care of all the guest rooms because it's a retreat center, all the public areas, the laundry, transport for residents or visitors, off-retreat visitors also, making a program for them, receiving them, looking after their well-being, etc., etc. And karma yogis that come to Baba's house, so making a plan for them and seeing where help is needed, etc. And I think, I'm not sure if I can do it very briefly, this question about how can I be a bestower in my role? I think, or maybe the essence of it could be that I'm very aware that I'm always on the stage. And so whether it's with other residents, so we're a team of about 25, of all different ages, different sanskaras, different nationalities. So whether it's with residents or with karma yogis or with other visitors, I'm always very aware that one wrong sentence, like let's say if I let myself get irritated or stressed, can have a very big impact. And so I think it's an ongoing process, definitely an effort to pay attention to my behavior and how I speak, what I say. But I think on another level, something I'm very, very aware of is my inner feelings. And so really to keep a clean heart and not to hold any grudges against it. not to let anything bad build up, but to keep, if stuff happens, to keep cleaning it out, whether it's through verbal communication or just internally as my own effort. That's the essence. Sorry, couldn't get to it any shorter.
Now that's, thank you. Do you want to pass it on to Shakuntala, please?
Yeah, Om Shanti. So I am Shakuntala from Myanmar. I am 25 years in Gyan. I mostly stay in the retreat center, but go around all the centers and all whole Myanmar. And there are retreat centers, so many services, so many guests are coming, because in whole Myanmar, there is not a bigger hall like that retreat center, only the one biggest hall in the Myanmar. So people want to come and they want to see the retreat center. So we have also retreat center, is hall is without pillar. So they are very interesting, and we do by ourselves. So they are very interesting to see, and Baba's knowledge is very special for all. And Buddhist people also interest in this knowledge. So they are also come because they feel that Hinduism is very similar to Buddhism. So they take respect to us, and with white dress, they are very respect this dress. So many service in retreat centers, and I am very pay attention to my state of mind, because when our state of mind is good, our feelings and our action is good, then service is go automatically. So I pay attention mostly to my state of mind. Shanti.
Hello. Did you come here by boat? I'm Greg. I live at the Lura Retreat Centre in the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney. My wife and I actually did the course in Lura, and Sona, who introduces the programs in the morning, was our coordinator. Now, Jessica, my wife, is the coordinator, and I look after property management and accounts. And for those who haven't been to Lura, it's a big property, 20 buildings, a lot of land. It's a lovely place there, so come. Okay. It's a beautiful place to come to. In terms of what I do, I actually am not a socialiser. I don't gossip. I don't talk about the news much. I put a lot of effort in how I'm thinking, making sure that the way I'm thinking is not negative or wasteful, because that is creating a vibration that other people will feel. I eat lunch on my own. I try and remember Baba while I'm eating lunch. The consequence of doing all this stuff is that people are generally very cooperative with me, because I'm not giving off a negative vibration. So that's really my effort, to be really conscious of the vibration that I'm giving off, because I'm either, at any one point of time, I'm either taking, giving, or dormant. And the only time I'm dormant is soul world. So if I'm not taking, then I must be giving. My vibration is having an impact. So that's my effort.
Thanks, Greg. That's lovely. Let's move into the topic of today's interview. The topic was supposed to be to give or not to give. Is there really a time when we actually don't give? Any thoughts? Do you have any examples to follow your sharing? Greg, you had the mic last. Do you want to start from that end?
We're always giving, aren't we? We're constantly giving. It's a question of what we're giving, whether it's negative or positive vibrations. And I had an experience once where, and if you think about it, if we're talking about physical giving, if I've got a broken leg, someone asks me to mow the lawn, I'm going to say no. But I can still give by helping that person find someone else to mow the lawn. Or I can give by adding a positive vibration to the search for that person. And it's the same if I've got some contagious illness. I can't do a public talk, but maybe I can help find someone to do that talk or add sakash to the talk. Once when I was coming back from Malabar, we go through Ahmedabad to get back to Australia. And once I was going through Ahmedabad and Daddy Gulzar was there in Ahmedabad, and she was there for an operation on her back because she had a really bad back. She heard double foreigners were coming through the centre, so she said, I'd like you to invite each one of them, one at a time, to come into the room and I'll give them sakash. So I went into the room and Daddy, she couldn't sit up, she was lying on her side, giving sakash from her side, and it was the most powerful love I've experienced. It was just amazing. So we don't actually have to physically do anything, our vibration can actually have a real impact. I had the situation myself where I think Satish was there too. We were in a centre residence retreat in the retreat centre near Melbourne, and they decided to have this comical quiz in the evening, and someone asked me, would you like to be one of the members? And I said, yeah, you don't say no, you say yes. So I said yes. But what I didn't tell the person and what I didn't tell the audience was that I'd had, in the last 60 hours, only 2 hours sleep. So I was a vegetable. Basically, I was a vegetable. And when they were asking the questions, I couldn't answer them. I just could not think. The crowd were helping. Come on, Greg, you can do it, you can do it. After the quiz, I couldn't answer anything, basically. After the quiz, someone came up to me who was quite senior, said, I didn't realise how hopeless you were at knowing knowledge. And I thought, should I have said no? But I didn't tell that person that I'd had no sleep. I just stayed in my self-respect. And so even though I was hopeless at what I did, benefit was the people there showed me that they cared because they were trying to help me. But I stayed in my self-respect because I never explained to anyone that the reason I was like that was because of lack of sleep. That was, it was a really good message for me, actually. You can say no, but you can also say yes in a different way to the physical action or the spoken word.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Greg. Jasmine?
Just to add to it, I think, of course, internally we are always giving if we're making the effort to give, as in terms of vibrations, our good wishes, that is an ongoing thing. But I think when it comes to service opportunities and we get asked to do certain things, there's a fine balance between two extremes, I guess, and one is where I'm trying to avoid subtly, because maybe I'm a bit tired, sometimes maybe I've got a headache, or I might not feel well physically, or I might be afraid, like nervous about it. And so that's one extreme. The other extreme is, maybe just finish with that side first. And I was just thinking actually of one example where I was feeling very unwell, and I'd had I had very bad diarrhea that day. I was very sick physically, but also I was absolutely terrified because I was in Delhi and there was some mega event many years ago and they had asked me to be interviewed. And I kind of said, what? Why me? I mean, there were so many other people there and I thought, what on earth? I actually said to the sister, you must be joking when she asked me, because I'm not an upfront, I don't generally play this kind of role. And I've always used to be very nervous of being up front. But I pushed through my fear. I had physically, I was really unwell. But I had this thing in my head that if I give in to this fear now, then it's like I'm putting a stop, a limit to my growth. And it's like closing a door. And I knew that it was really like sort of Ravan's head, the head of fear, sticking up big time. I was really literally terrified. I was shaking. And I pushed through with the determination, and I just thought, it's okay. If I mess up, they'll never ask me again. And if I don't mess up, then that's fine, you know. So I just thought, you know, I have to do this. And so I did it. And I remember going on the stage, and literally like my jaws were shaking, my knees, my whole body. I was trembling out of fear. I was really nervous. There was thousands of people there, plus all a lot of seniors sitting all in the front. Anyway, I just, the moment I sat down, I just felt Baba took over. You know, I could just feel like light in the room. I didn't notice anyone who was there, and he totally took care. And so there's this example of sometimes where we really have to push through, because it's our own limitation, our own anxiety, nervousness, limiting ourselves. And that will, if we give in to that, it'll really stop us. One important thing. And Baba does help, but then there are other times when you really have to know yourself very well, and along with like what Greg was saying, a similar thing. You have to know yourself well, and you have to know what your limits are. And I was thinking of not very long ago, we've had a big marquee event, a three-day marquee event in Oxford, and for thousands of people. It was a big project on top of everything else, of running the regular retreat schedule and everything. And they were looking for somebody, or they needed a team of key people who could do the logistics and hold it. And yes, I could have volunteered. I think capacity-wise, I would have probably been able to be part of a team, but as an inner capacity. But I knew that physically speaking, it's just a joke. I knew that I'm already stretched with my regular day-to-day duties. I already know that I don't always pass with being as kind and sweet as I want to be. It's an effort, you know, like sometimes there's pressure, sometimes there's, you know, time limit and all of that. And so I've already got enough on my plate as it is. I knew that. And so I knew it's not sensible if I do that and then I lose my stage over it. And I know that when I get stressed and overwhelmed, the first thing that goes is sweetness, and I start being a bit grumpy or reactive and things, and that has big impact. And that's actually more important, that service of maintaining my stage, than doing something like this. That's also needed, but then you have to gauge it very carefully. Am I being lazy? Am I making excuses? Or is there a real sincere reason? And I did help in the end, but I helped with just a small aspect of it, something that I knew that I'd be stretched, but I could manage. So it's really being in tune with ourselves, I think, and knowing ourselves well, and knowing where can I make the biggest contribution. So,
thank you, Jasmine. Do you want to add something, Shakuntala Ben?
So, like that, when we are starting service in Myanmar, we are staying at retreat center is in the Shu Township. This is like a little India, so many Hinduism is there. So when we start the service, they not like the some people, they are against with Baba's knowledge, and we when confess the center, retreat center, that time also they feel not like, because we all young sister do very fast walk, and contrast one temple, years, 10 years, not complete. And retreat centers only complete in between 2 years. So they are not like, so they are against with Baba. So that time so many times they complained to the government authority, they complained to the monk, president of monk, that these people, how they do this big construction, where they get permission from there, like there's so many objections they do. But that time, I sometimes have thought why they do like that. But simultaneously things come out that they do their what? You have to do your work. They do their work. They have against or something, they do their work. But what is your responsibility? You have to do your work. So Murali points is come in my mind, and I have very good wishes and pure feeling for them every time. So I have never talked to any other for some topic or some things. Every time good wishes and pure feeling for them. After, I think, after 10 years, they have come to their retreat center and they told me, we went to program in the retreat center. You get as permission. So I told, yes, you are welcome. This is God's home. This is your home also. So they came to the Baba retreat center and they organized a big program for teachers and for Pandit Purohit. They organize big program and very good service is happen from them, because so many people from Indian communities, very business people also, businessmen also, variety people comes and they get Baba knowledge. So at that program I told them I have also, I want 5 minutes and I want to tie to Rakhi them. This is the August month. So I want to tie to Rakhi them. So they, okay, very good. They are very happy. And so many teachers, I have not sister, but now I feel that I have my own sister. So they are very happy to tie the Rakhi and thanks to us, and very big service is done. So Baba told that whatever people do, but in our mind, we have every time good wishes, good vibration, pure feeling for them. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. It's really lovely because I think between the three of you, you've covered the question really quite evenly. So if I was to summarize it, I think you all were saying that at a physical level we need to be very practical and sensible as to when to say yes and when to say no. And of course at a very spiritual level, Shakuntala Ben really shared that, you know, if we keep giving, 10 years is a long time, but the thing is, Daddy Junkie always says, is just keep giving, 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 and don't count how long I've been giving good wishes, and then you will see the results. So that's really lovely, and Jasmine, obviously you did really well in that last panel, so you've been invited, you were sharing that you, if you don't do well in a panel, you know, they'll never ask you again. Obviously you did extremely well. Here's the next question. At times, you may feel frustrated and drained when someone repeatedly fails to understand or follow instructions. And so, you know, you've got to keep repeating yourself, so trying to explain things to clarify them. You know, sometimes there's that sense of feeling of wanting to give up or ignore them. In your experience, how do you deal with those, the thoughts that comes through your mind, the feelings, the attitudes towards that person, and how do you become a bestower for that soul?
I think, first of all, practically speaking, I think you need to give them another chance first, as in, you might have explained it a few times, but I know for myself that sometimes they say things in passing or in the corridor or wherever, and for whatever reason people don't register or they don't realize the importance of it. And so then I think my last resort, so to speak, is to actually sit them down quietly and to really explain to them, this is what it is and this is the background, this is the whole picture, like to make them realize what the implications are, because usually there's some implications connected with that. So that would be my first thing. And then I think if that also fails, then I think sometimes there is a point where you really need to make peace with it, basically. It depends on the situation. If it's a not major situation, I would say in that case sometimes I just have to understand that for whatever reason they do not have the capacity. You know, I've tried everything. But it doesn't register, or maybe they don't want to do it, or whatever. You can't force people to do things anyway. And so sometimes just realizing capacity, and that's different for all of us. maybe they just can't get the importance of it, or they don't want to do it, and that's okay. So then you have to sometimes let go if it's a smallish kind of thing. But then if it's a big thing on a practical level, I think then I would probably take it more senior to me to hand it over to them if it's something big, obviously, you know. But internally speaking, I think what helps me a lot is really the awareness of everyone's part. I find that simple point that Baba gives us really, really helpful. And I don't always manage to do it. I do need to, depending on the scenario and how important or not important it is, I do need to do some inner work and really talk to myself of resistance or reaction or irritation or whatever. But really to come to terms with the fact is that we are multicultural, multi-sanskara family and different parts, and what's right for them, it might not be right in my opinion, but it's right for them. That's like Baba says it every day, you know, drama is fixed, everyone's part is fixed. And I love that point, even though I'm not always, I'm really being honest, I'm not always able to remember it. But when I do remember it, it's been hugely valuable, really, to keep reminding myself of that. And then to keep trying, as I said earlier, to try and keep my heart clean, clean out any negative feelings, that with my good wishes, that person will come round, you know, and something will change.
So do you actually clean your heart out before you actually have a conversation with this person? Or, you know, you try and sort of suppress that feeling and attitude while you're having the conversation? Because in my experience, I think it's easily said than done, you know, where you try and you do your best to sort of suppress that feeling. You've already got someone's not doing something accurately, and you're doing your best to try and communicate with this person. You've said it once, you've said it twice, they still don't register in your system. And so,
actually, there's one more step maybe in between there. What I also sometimes find is that maybe I haven't taken the time to understand where they're coming from. And so that is another valuable thing, that sometimes, you know, and I might have been a little bit irritated about something someone's done, and then I talk to them about it and just question them, ask them, so, you know, how come, you know, why kind of did you do this like that and whatever? And then you realize there's actually sometimes, not always, but sometimes there's actually quite a valid reason behind it. For whatever reason, they have some limitation or something they can't manage or whatever, whatever. So actually listening to somebody also is helpful, I think, sometimes rather than jumping to conclusions. But with regards to cleaning their heart, I think, yeah, before, if I know it's a difficult conversation that's coming up, then I do usually sit with Baba and try and really, you know, let go of any my own feelings and also really invoke Baba's energy to hand over to him. And if it, for whatever reason, doesn't work out, and then afterwards that's an ongoing effort to try and keep good wishes for that person, you know, to clean out everything.
Thank you. Shakuntala Ben, do you want to add to it?
So, Baba told that we have always Bhashtava for all, but sometimes some people have different culture, different background, and so very talk with rudely or sometimes. But for a moment, we have think why for a moment. But second moment, I remember Baba's Morley point. First, why they do? But secondly, I remember Baba Morley point, and I change myself, and I have do my work. I attend with them because they have their nature. They have their kara. They do their work in the drama, they do their work, do their action in the drama. So I understand them, but because so many have deep fear or something, or some, you know, some they have some problems or some things. So I understand them why they do like that. And then I change myself, I change my thoughts, okay, no problem. I have content with you. I give them good vibration, so like that I do for all.
Nice, thank you. Great.
The way I look at it is, who in the world has got exactly the same parents as you, exactly the same siblings, exactly the same work colleagues, exactly the same contacts, has had exactly the same experiences over their life as you had, and the birth before, and the birth before that, and the birth before that. We can't expect anyone to understand exactly where we're coming from, and we can't expect to really understand where they're coming from. So the way I look at it is that they do the job to the best of their ability, and, you know, it's Bubba's task. Sometimes I think, oh, they should do it this way because I'm in charge of the property management. And I've been manager of big national parks, so I have some understanding of how to manage properties. But you can get into the mindset that I'm right. But maybe Bubba's got another idea, and maybe that soul actually needs to create their fortune, and they're creating it the way they can. The way I look at it is, if they haven't done it exactly the way I think it should be, fine, then I will just adjust it once they're finished. Because if I'm doing that in a positive way, I'm not a negative about them not doing it properly, I'm actually increasing my fortune. It doesn't matter that I'm fixing someone else's mistake. It doesn't matter. I'm creating my own fortune if I'm doing it with the right attitude. Because, you know, we've all gone through stuff over many births, and so we don't really know where they're coming from, and maybe that's the best they can do, and that's fine.
Thanks, Greg. I'll definitely give you lots of opportunity to create your fortune when I come to Lura next. Greg, here's a question for you. You know, I find a lot of people these days, you know, they're touched by our wisdom, they're touched by your experiences, but they don't necessarily have the strength to actually execute, you know, any of our suggestions that we offer them for their own benefit. Have you had any practical experiences where your good wishes has actually helped that person, given that person a new life? Have you actually seen it happen?
Yeah, this is an example, not with a Brahmin, but one of my ex-work colleagues, he and his wife lived in a neighbouring village in the Blue Mountains, and she came to me one day and sat down. I said she'd like to talk to me, and she spent an hour and a half talking to me about the problems she had with her husband. Over that hour and a half, I didn't say one thing. The whole time, I just connected with Bubba and sent vibrations to the situation. And after an hour and a half, she said to me, oh, I've taken enough of your time. Thank you so much. You've helped me so much. I mean, it wasn't me, it's Bubba. And even because I'm from environmental background, we have that same impact on nature. Can I give you an example of impact on nature?
Yeah, please.
When Jessica and I were living in the village 10 minutes from the retreat centre, I was out the front of the house sanding the windows because I wanted to paint the windows. It was a hot day. The sun was shining. I was getting tired. So I thought, I'll go and sit under a tree and just have a bit of yoga. So I sat under this tree. There's a little branch just above my head here, another branch just here, within arm's reach. So I thought, I'll connect to Bubba and send peace into the garden. So I sat, sent peace into the garden, and immediately a little yellow robin came and sat on the branch. It's a little grey bird with a yellow chest, sat on the branch. I'm sending peace into the garden. The robin's just sitting there, looking at me. It's not moving. 20, 30 seconds, then it flew away. And as soon as it flew away, a rose robin came and sat in the same spot. A little grey bird with a rose-coloured chest just sat on the branch, sat there looking at me. I'm sending peace into the garden, peace into the garden. 20 or 30 seconds, it flew away. Then a white-throated tree creeper came and landed on this branch, a little speckled bird with a white chest. It just sat there. I'm sitting peace in the garden. It's just sat there. White-throated tree creepers do not sit on branches. They fly down to the base of the tree, climb up the tree looking for bugs, fly down to the next tree, climb up the trunk. They move like that. They don't sit on branches. All those birds were experiencing that vibration that Bubba was giving them. So we totally underestimate, I mean, we talk, we do actions, but we totally underestimate the vibrations and the impact we're having with our vibrations, both on the people around us and nature itself.
Thank you. Very inspiring. Jasmine, can I ask you something? I mean, you've had the fortune of observing Daddy Jenki over the years that you've lived in London in GRC. Do you want to share any of her stories of her benevolence that's really touched you?
So one was a personal story, and so I had written to Daddy about some issues about that I was having with one particular individual, and basically that person, that other individual, really didn't like me. They were very negative towards me, very critical, it was quite a negative, very negative interaction on all levels, vibration-wise, but also verbally. And so I was burdened, I felt burdened by it, and so I wrote to Daddy, not in a way that I was complaining, I wasn't complaining, but I was just saying that this is the impact it's having on me. You know, it was more focusing on what can I do for myself, to deal with it better, I guess. And so Daddy replied, and she said, well, who's the person? Because I didn't put the name. And I thought, oh dear, I really didn't want to give the name because I thought, you know, Daddy sometimes mentioned things, you know, innocently or for whatever reason she wants to give examples, so she mentions things maybe. And she promised to me that she's not going to tell anyone.
Did she honor her promise?
She did. Yeah, it was really sweet because then she wasn't there. I think she was not at GRC, and then I think she came soon after. And the moment she saw me, she said, didn't tell anyone. But the thing that happened was incredible because I wrote the letter to her. I replied to her with a name. And this karmic account, it was a karmic account with this individual, changed overnight. I was really amazed. Why Daddy wanted to know the name was not because she was think, oh, I'm going to speak to them, or I'm going to do something, or whatever. It was just for her. She really wanted to send Sakash her good wishes and to this situation, to this individual in particular. And, I mean, I was stunned by the power of it, because it was a very, very, one of my most negative experiences in a relationship with anyone I've ever had. And, literally, within 24 hours, that person's behavior towards me changed and got resolved and has been good ever since. There's been never any issues after that. So that was Daddy's incredible power, her yoga power and her good wishes that changed that.
Thank you. You know, you can trust us and tell that person's name. We won't tell anyone. Shakuntala, you've had the good fortune of being sustained directly by Dr. Nirmala and Brijmohan Baiji. Do you want to share anything from Brijmohan Baiji's story that you've observed in terms of his benevolence?
Yeah, I got very fortunate, and I feel fortunate that I'm directly sustained from Dr. Nirmala Didi and Brijmohan Bhai Sahibji. When Brijmohan Bhai Sahib came to Rangoon, and open in the retreat center. At that time, we are very close with Brijmohan Bhai Sahib, and he is very take care of us. When army general take law and order to his hand, at that time, our country situation is very, very, very bad, and we are very afraid of all the things. Because whenever all the things are happening, we don't know what is the happen or what is the... So that time Bhai Sahib ring us and told us, you are safe or not. If your safety is not ensured, you close the Madhuban. You all sister come to Madhuban. Madhuban is your home. Like that he told like that, and he very concerned for us. Because we are very young, for all sisters are very young, so he is very concerned for us. And time to time, like the very big earthquake and big flood is over there coming, so that time also Bhaiji call ring us. And like when Bhaiji's ring to us, we feel like that Baba is remembered to us. We very energized, we all brother and sister energized with Baba's love and Baba energy. So his remembrance is very power, give us power to us. And when we came to Madhuban, he called all the group and his cottage and breakfast with us. So like very, very love and very take care all of us. So we very deep and very close with Aisa. So Bhaiji is very loved to and take care to all. So this is our fortune. Bhai Sahib is very, very, because Bhai Sahib is very senior one. We all know that, and he is very busy schedule, government authority. He has very so many appointments with government authority in Delhi, so many big programs and yajna responsibility he have. But in his busy schedule, he also take time, and at least I think once a month he ring us and he concern for us and how are you and what you are doing, and sometimes only points sharing like that. He's very with knowledge also, and with the love also, he's very take care for us.
Thank you. Jasmine, back to you. Or did you want to add something? Go for it, Greg.
Got a couple of stories of Didi. No, there was one day in Lura where she had a meeting with a sister who wasn't living there, and it was a very heated meeting. The next day, Didi treated that person. She was very good at full stop, treat the person, you know, as you should treat a person. And another example was there's a town south of Sydney where they'd organised this public program. They'd organised a big hall. Didi was in town, so they organised Didi to do this talk in town. So she went to the talk. One person turned up. Just one person from the public. Didi went ahead and did the talk. That person's come to be served, so I'm going to serve them. And the person was amazed that Didi actually, you know, made the effort to do that talk, even though there's only one person there. So it was very selfless. Didi was very selfless. Yeah.
Thanks, Greg. Actually, I was remembering another scenario with Charlie Bhai. You know, while we were all busy with the online world, so there was a little group who had organised an online program, and it was before the Zoom thing started. We were doing a lot on YouTube, and so it was time, but there was hardly any watching the YouTube. So we said to Charlie, Charlie Bhai was already on stage and he was ready to do the talk, and he said, "There's only one person." Charlie Bhai said, "Doesn't matter, let's start the session." And he just went ahead and he did the talk for half an hour, which was as scheduled. And I was really quite surprised, you know, the selflessness in service. It didn't matter whether it was one, it doesn't matter if it was 100 people, but they just went ahead to serve. Thank you, Greg. While you've got the microphone, ask you, in your experience, what qualities did you see in the lives of Didi or even Charlie Bhai that makes them have such generosity in their lives, in their personality?
Didi was very pure, so she was very conscious of what she's thinking about and how she interacted with. She was very simple, she's a doctor, so she's very intelligent, but she was very simple in terms of gyan. So it's not about being very articulate about how you treat people. What's the example I'm giving to people? That's the way I saw Didi.
Mm.
And she knew Baba very well, I think. That's the other side of it. I remember when Jessica and I first came into Gyan, we'd lost our first child, or our child. Then we came into Gyan, and I said to Didi, we were going to have a family. And she said, just give it 6 months. Because she knew Baba would be fine.
Wow.
Yeah. She just knew Baba very well. Charlie, he's actually very worldly. That's what I like about Charlie. He's very experienced in with people, and he's very, what's the word?
Connected? Grounded?
Friendly. He's very friendly with people. So he's able to get close to people and see where their needs are and satisfy their needs.
And do you think that friendliness is really the basis to the generosity?
Well, the only way you can be friendly with other people is if you're really friendly with Baba, to be honest.
That's true.
And so he's very strict in terms of following the Mariyadas, and Didi is a perfect example of strictness for following the Mariyadas and the principles. And that's the foundation. It's very easy to say, you should have good feelings and pure wishes, but unless you're actually following the principles really well, it's not an easy thing to do, to be honest.
That's true. Brings us to the next question, and I think, Jasmine, you might be the best for this. As a responsible instrument, have you had to sometimes be firm, sometimes say no? Where does the generosity in that come in?
Yeah, definitely. That situation does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it all depends on how you do what you're doing. Sometimes on an external level it's like you have to say no, but then it all depends on how you're saying no, I think, with what kinds of intention and feelings behind it. And I remember there was one situation where one particular individual wanted to stay at GRC, and this person had come to help for some time, and then they really had set their heart onto staying. And but I knew from working with them then that GRC was not the right place for them. Because, you work with a lot of people over the years, and so you can sort of gauge, And I could see that this person is actually not a karma yogi type person. There are certain people who really get in there and they enjoy doing physical stuff. And GRC, majority of the service at GRC is really physical.
Mm.
And so this person was very much more of a creative person, but not physical. And I knew that they were just making this because they desperately wanted to stay. But then there are two aspects to it. So one is, as an instrument kind of responsible for, if I decide that I've worked with an individual and I feel that they're really good at what they're doing and they're fitting our needs and all of that, then I might suggest that I offer them that they can stay for a longer stretch or whatever, right? But that's a big responsibility. And if, because we have limited spaces, realistically speaking, you're a retreat center, how many spaces do you have valuable? You don't want to fill your house with just out of benevolence. You'd have hundreds of people who'd want to stay if you were, offering it, obviously. Everybody would want to stay. But there are, realistically speaking, really limits, and we are there to serve people. So we can't have the house full of people who are not absolutely essential. And so the people who are staying at GRC, generally speaking, they are really people who are needed and who really, it has to fit both ways, if you know what I mean. We need to, will fulfill whatever their needs are, their requirements are, their life at GRC, but also whatever they're doing has to fulfill the needs of the retreat center. So now with this particular individual, of course, they really wanted to stay. And I could see that it was a bit of a mixture also of maybe wanting a bit of a, they wanted an easy life in a way, or maybe wanted to be in a spiritual community, which is fair enough, I understand that, because good company, good atmosphere is very attractive. But then, as I said, you have... So I had to look at A, the practical side of it, and B, I knew... I mean, practical side, our side also, but B, I also knew that for them in the long term, they wouldn't be happy. I knew that they would just wilt because, you know, karmically it's not good. If you can't pull your weight and you can't do your thing, I mean, you know, you can't, don't have the capacity, let's say, to serve in that way, then it's a karmic burden on you. It doesn't feel good on you. You don't get blessings from others. That's one aspect. But the other thing is company. But that's not the right motivation for staying in the center, to, you know, just because you want good atmosphere and good company. So, and even if you're doing something that's quite simple, like me, I started first doing, the main jobs I was doing were cleaning and servery when I started at GRC. And I was always working under people. I didn't have responsibility as such. And even though I was doing simple things, and it's not that they were my favorite things to do, but, you know, I had the physical capacity. I could, you know, it was secondary to me. I knew that the spiritual progress would be the most important thing. And I could do these things with happiness without, you know, I could create a consciousness where I could feel happy doing those things and do them with love. So when you can do this somewhere else and you want to be creative, you want to do arty things, you want to connect with people or whatever, you know, then, you know, this doesn't always work. So anyway, basically, to this individual, and it was really, really tough. It was not easy, because they were rather upset. They were not happy. Not upset with me, but they didn't take it too well. But then I knew that for the house, that's one aspect, but for themselves, this was the more beneficial. And I did check this out, obviously, with seniors. I didn't just take the decision myself, but I knew that for themselves, this was to do, which I won't say now, but there was an advice also given, what would be next, what should be the next step, rather than staying with us. There was something else that was necessary in their journey, what they needed to do. So yeah, it was a difficult thing to do, really challenging, but it was beneficial. And so beneficial and benevolent doesn't always mean the obvious say yes to everything. Sometimes what's beneficial is the bitter medicine kind of thing. And Daddy was like that. You know, Daddy wouldn't go with people-pleasing and saying yes, 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 and doing every, you know, or she might say yes, but then do whatever she thought was right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes her medicine would be bitter, so to speak. It would be a bit firm, a bit bitter, but it was always in the highest interest of the person that whatever was for their well-being and their growth, the very best thing to do. So I think that's the important thing here. And so its intention is really important, I think, and how we're doing it. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you. That's really lovely. In all your efforts to be merciful, to be kind, to be benevolent, has there been a time when you felt you have failed, when you've not been successful, and you feel... I could have done better, and you feel, as long as you don't beat yourself up, you know. Do you want to tell us that story and how you came out of it? Because, you know, I mean, it's ideal that we're always successful, good wishes, yes, but has there been a time when I feel I have failed or I've not been successful? Probably move on to the next question, I guess. Doesn't apply to these people.
I think, I don't know for the others, but me, I was reluctant to answer because yes, there have been many, many situations, I think, where this was the case.
Or just one, but, please.
No, but I can't give any specific... maybe one, there was one, I think, where I was... My intention was right and I was really trying to help this individual. But the thing is, I had to also... I felt I had to, draw some boundaries. I mean, say something to them that was right as far as I was concerned, but on their part they took it really badly. And so it was a very strong reaction after that. And I even did apologize, seeing their reaction. I even apologized, but they wouldn't accept it. And basically the lesson in that, I would say, was that you have to be really, really sensitive to other people's background, needs, sensitivities. It was just a big lesson that I had to, you know, even though what I was saying was the right thing, and I said it with good intention, but that wasn't sufficient. And so I just the lesson to be more careful in future and to be aware that you need to use a lot of tact with people and be very, very careful the way you say things. So sometimes, actually, it's better not to say anything. In that case, I realized even though what I said was really right, as in it was in line with Baba's systems, GRC systems, but it wasn't the right thing to say because that person actually wasn't able to handle it and they were taking it in the wrong spirit. So sometimes you actually need to just keep your mouth shut and not say anything because it'll just won't be received well and it'll upset the person and then you create bad vibes and a little karmic account which you don't want. So yeah, it was a good lesson. Eating humble pie.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, it's really about understanding people's sanskars, isn't it? That's really what it's all about. You should know how people are going to handle certain things, and that's what Jasmine was talking about. She understood the sanskars of that person. So, yeah. What I was going to say though was, for me, it's me that has to change, not them. If there's a situation and I'm feeling bad, it's me. It doesn't matter what they have to do. They've got to do what they've got to do. It's me that's got to work out what it is in me that's got to change. As long as you're not doing, you're heavy on yourself all the time. So that's the way I look at it. If I'm feeling hurt, it's me. What do I need to change?
Thank you. Does it ever get heavy on you sometimes, Greg? Because, you know, you're taking it on yourself. Or do you take it from the perspective of it's an opportunity for me to learn? What am I going to learn from this?
There's a lot of heaviness and pain and all that sort of stuff. But the quicker you can let go, make the realization and let go, the quicker you can move on. And that's when it really starts to change, when you're actually making a realization quick. Oh, it's me. That's what it is. Okay, let go. Actually, I just want to say, I don't fight with people. I've never really fought with people. I take it on. I take the hurt on myself. But what I'm finding these days is it's gone within 24 hours. So Baba is sort of softening things really quickly. So it's just about letting Baba in as much as possible.
So you don't feel the weight of it and the pressure of changing. Thank you. Shakuntalabhin, did you want to add something? Or are you happy to move to the next question? All right, so I'll give you the next question. Oh, I know we've just crossed time. Should we keep going for a few more minutes? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Shakuntalabhin, as a senior teacher who coordinates such a big family in a very interesting country, those of you know what Burma's like, what do you do to hold the family, to keep them together? Any special efforts? Because it is your generosity that's going to hold them together. So,
In my vision,
in your attitude, your vision, practically,
Before becoming a teacher, we have to become a mother. I think one mother, like in household mother, they hold all the child. They have good manner also, or weakness also. But the mother, their children with same vision. Like that, we have Baba child, Baba children have So many have good qualities and very good specialities. Someone have some weakness. But we saw Baba's children, all children, they are speciality. And then I give them like that type of seva. I see their speciality and give them that type of seva. So they are become happy. I not see their weakness. One see their weakness. She is like that or he is like that. We also upset and they also get bad vibration from us. When we thinking also in our thinking, we think that he is like that. He is very bad manner or something. So they got bad vibration from us. So I am very pay attention from my feelings that he is a good soul. He is original good soul. I see their speciality and I give them that type of seva. So our family is become united. I do like that. So they are also content. I am also content. And like that with our good vibration, they are also become slowly change, gradually change. I see that they are changed.
Thank you. And just one last little question for you, Shakuntala Ben, is there a story that you've heard of Brahma Baba that's really touched your heart in terms that reflects Brahma Baba's quality of being a bestower? Because there are many stories, but one that really touches your heart.
So in my starting in my Brahman life, that time I read the Brahma Baba story. So many dadis also, they also from them also I had. But so one story I very deep touch with my heart. So when Baba shift to Mount Abu, so that time one guru is near the Lakhi Lake. He stay near the Lakhi Lake and he has so many followers. So when Baba came to Mount Abu, that time so many followers, they take the course and they slowly become Baba's children. So that guru is very upset. That guru was very upset. So he very abused to Baba and bad words to Baba. And when he saw Baba's children, so brother and sister he saw, that time he told very bad words to all the children. So brother and sister told to Baba, this guru is very not good. He is very bad talking to you for you and for ours also. So Baba told Baba, my child, listen, that guru is very sick. So because he is upset, because his follower all come to Baba's. So he is very sick, so you sent bhog and toli for him. So brother and sister, Baba, why? So we have our duty that we have to give toli and bhog. Then we are slowly good wishes and he is also contentment because he is upset. This is real reason for his absence. This is not wrong also. That very deep touch in my heart that who is do something or wrong thing or right thing, but in our side we have to put wishes to all because this is a real proof we got from good wishes and pure feeling from others. When we give good wishes for others, this is really we got result. We got results. So one example in my life, when we went any city from Myanmar for service or new service we started. So some devotees group go there. They also follow us. And when our program is finished, next day their program they arrange this city. And they told so many about Brahma Kumari is like that, they wear white dress, this is not good dress or this is not in Indian culture. And they have, their God has not leg and not hand, their God is like, they are Islamism, they are not Hinduism, like there's so many. So we think that Oh, they are advertise as. So people very interesting. They are very listen interesting with their lecture, and they want to come and see to us. They want to come. What they are talking is right or wrong. They want to come and see to us. When they are coming to Baba home, they are automatically become a Baba child. So we feel like that is advertisement for us. So we are not upset with someone is for bad thing, bad words or good words talk to us, not matter. I don't upset with anything because they are advertised for us. So Baba's service is automatically very fast, going very fast. So in Myanmar, I think for that reason, Baba's service is with small time, Baba's service is very go fast. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Well, I think we've really exceeded the time for now. So firstly, a big thank you to all the panelists. That was amazing. I think they've really given an amazing answer to all the lovely questions, very inspiring. And thank you all for listening. So, should we have just 1 minute meditation and then head to lunch?